Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Berenstain. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the People, the Busters, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Another week set to begin. Countdown to kickoff is officially real right now. We got week 0 college football kicking off this Saturday. It's getting serious, and it's gotten serious a long time ago in the CFL. NFL preseason set to wind down. Regular season around the corner. MLS. Is back. Baseball pennant chases. There's a lot of stuff to break down, and we had a pretty busy weekend this weekend as we went to not one but two games. We went to the CFL game on Saturday with the Montreal Alouettes and the BC Lions, a football game in which the Montreal Alouettes entered a beat-up team, and a game in which they left even more beat-up, down to their fifth-string quarterback. It was amazing the amount of injuries that the Alouettes have sustained. We cashed the ticket, but the game creeped over the number late, which I wasn't happy about, but that's what I get for betting it under. Yet the main event in Vancouver this weekend was Thomas Mueller's debut with the Vancouver Whitecaps, one of the greatest players to ever play, you know, World Cup champion, multiple EuroLeague champion, 13-time Bundesliga champion, one of the winningest players in the history of the sport, surprised many people by signing with the Vancouver Whitecaps. Nobody saw that coming. He made his debut. The Whitecaps have knocked it out of the park, guys. Like, since the signing, just everything that they've done, the fans showing up at the airport, they had the parade and the walkthrough before the game yesterday. Tens of thousands of people on the streets of downtown Vancouver welcoming him to the team and to the city. They played the Houston Dynamo, and I'm not just saying this because it's factual, but for whatever reason, and I don't know, I guess it's like we see this in every league, but I don't know if I could say the same for TFC and the CF Montreal. I don't see every play like I do with the Whitecaps games, but the Whitecaps get screwed by the officials consistently. And last week there was a major debacle in the game. And the Whitecaps filed an appeal after the game, and they actually won the appeal, but you don't get anything out of it. The league just said, yeah, we were wrong, you were right, sorry. But it didn't change anything. But so it's not just in our heads, it's factual. Like like when they appeal, they're even winning the appeals now. And it was the same thing last night, just a horribly officiated game in which it was like it was like Monday Night Raw on the pitch. Like, there were bodies, like, flying around last night. The Houston Dynamo, and the thing is, the Whitecaps are good now, so teams are clearly, it's a strategy that, you know what, just attack them. Just attack them. Like, the Whitecaps are getting pushed around, they're getting fouled, they're getting kicked, they're getting tackled, they're getting pushed. And even Mueller got the treatment. Like, they triple-teamed Mueller early when he got on the pitch, and they were pushing him around. And no calls, which, okay, fine. But then the second somebody on the Whitecaps sneezes in the direction of another player, they call a foul. Like, that's – and they call a card. The ref was out of control last night at the match. They were – I wish I bet the cards because this guy was handing them out, man. He was handing them out freely. There were multiple cards. Somebody got kicked out late on Houston, but it was very late in the match. But it was frustrating. I put a lot on the Caps. They were up 1-0. They scored this 6 minutes into the game, and – Brian White, this guy's just money, guys. I tell you, I post it, take him, he scores every game. But Brian White scores, plus 110, feels like it's going to be one of these feel-good nights. They're up 1-0 early. They're dominating the match for the most part. But then, you know, they just sort of Houston tightened up. Nothing really happened for like half an hour. Mueller comes in, scores a goal, like in his first couple of minutes, but it was offside, unfortunately. So that didn't count. It would have been 2-0, and just a devastating fashion. The Houston Dynamo scored in the 92nd minute, man, to ruin the bats, ruin the night. Just the whole thing was very, very disappointing. But Mueller's here moving forward. The Whitecaps are for real. And I'm fired up for this. And I can't wait to see if they can actually win the MLS Cup. Great job by the Whitecaps. I will say, even though it was technically a sellout, like they said, I would have liked to see the upper deck open. And this is the problem, right? I remember before people would say, oh, the Whitecaps, they're so cheap, they don't spend money on players. Well, whatever, dude. If they spend money on players, they're still only going to get 25,000 people, right? So they got 26, I imagine, as it sort of builds. You know what it is? They don't want to open up the upper deck because they got to pay people. So unless they know they're going to sell a bunch of tickets up there, they don't want to do it because, you know, it costs money to do this. But it's sort of a case in point why they also need their own stadium, right? Doesn't matter who you are. If you're playing in one of these big old school stadiums, it doesn't have the feel of the modern pitches. But great stuff over the weekend in Vancouver. It was a great weekend in Los Angeles, San Diego. Not talking so much online, their fans right now after getting swept by the Dodgers. But that's another story. Cam Stewart in the house. We got Mo Khan. What's going on, Cam?
Hey, it's great. No, you're right. You said it too. And I will actually defend everything that you said, even when TFC was a good team. And I used to go to a lot more games back in the day. Yeah, it felt like even with the rowdy fans they had, Gabe, and they used to throw toilet paper, crazy stuff. Like it was like very, when they first came out, it was like almost like a European style crowd. Not as good now because, you know, people in Toronto, they're fickle. They're not the same team they are. But yeah, I always found that they always, Canadian teams always get the raw end. I don't know why. I don't understand it. Vancouver, you would think it would get a lot more, you know, that's the way you brought. You're bringing an international star to the team. You would think you'd get a little bit more. Like, why are you helping the Houston Dynamo? That doesn't really make much sense to me. As for the CFL game that you were at, I didn't expect to see Morgan, the quarterback from Bowling Green, go out there. I don't know what the hell's going on with this Montreal team. Me, you, and Mo are going to suit up soon, but he tried. You know, it's tough. A lot of these guys go to the CFL and throw five picks in their start. Guy goes out there. He made a couple throws. He made a couple bad decisions, but all in all, this team's just screwed, Gabe, because they got nobody, and Mo knows, they have nobody to play anymore. Like, this, it doesn't matter what league you're in. We're getting thin here. This is the four-string guy.
And Mo knows the Montreal Alouette schedule does them no favor. So they're the first ones up this week. They got to play on Thursday night after playing on the West Coast on Saturday night. And they get a Winnipeg Blue Bomber team rolling into Montreal. Mo, the CFL regular season, there's peaks and valleys. There is. It's so long, right? You're not going to, you know, there really is. It's a marathon, but the Alouettes are definitely in that valley right now. And it really is amazing the difference from like a month ago from where this football team was. They've just got to fight and battle and try to survive and get through this tunnel of pain that they're in right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, guys. To add to the point, they got Winnipeg now. They have the bye week and get Hamilton at home on September 6th. I've told you guys before, weeks past, that's the big one for both teams, because if Hamilton wins that game, they win the season series and pretty much has a stronghold for the East Division going towards the final 7 weeks of the season. And, you know, for James Morgan to get the repetitions, he probably will start on Thursday. Shea Patterson, Gabe, you know him very well, former Michigan quarterback, Ole Miss quarterback. He could be in the on the radar for the Alouettes in the coming day or two, be a part of that quarterback rotation with Cam Dukes. But right now, this team is lean at all positions beyond quarterback. Don't have any receivers. Defense has been banged up. And you can see it. You saw in the second half of that game against BC, guys, it was competitive in the first half. It was very feisty, but the Owls just wore down. Nathan Rourke was simply majestic in how he played against the Alouettes on Saturday night.
Yeah, and the BC Lions, the Lions were on the ropes earlier in the year, and they had to fight through the injuries, and they had to fight through the adversity, and they did. And now they're back to 5-5 right now, and they're going – on the East Coast this weekend, where they've been very successful, right? They beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They beat the Montreal Alouettes. And also for people tuning in, if you just blindly bet the Western teams to beat the Eastern teams in the CFL. Like, you'll get rich. Just it's a one-sided league. It always has been, and it probably always will be, just basically. I mean, it just always has been. The East teams do not beat the West. Like I said, look at the BC Lions, right? The BC Lions only wins this season are against teams from the East and the Edmonton Elks. It's true, Cam. If you actually look at BC, like, they beat Edmonton twice, they beat Montreal twice, and they beat Hamilton.
Look at the quality,
and they get their ass handed to them by the Bombers and the Riders all the time. And the Stampeders are pretty, like, the West is,
they
like
dominate.
These Western teams, when they're playing East teams, they're like, all right, good, we're going to get a win, right? And, you know, they sort of see it like a reprieve almost.
And they'll probably cross over.
Right, Mo? Like, take a look. Like, there's like, ooh, Hamilton. Well, they get their ass handed to them. Saskatchewan slapped them around. BC is a better team than people think. Calgary, one of the surprise teams of the league. Saskatchewan, probably the best overall team in the league. So, you know, you're looking at the West. You said it, Gabe, like Ottawa, Toronto. It's just the discrepancy between East and West is large. Gabe's right. Like, just the West is so much better. It's ridiculous.
Rough Riders are looking like the best team in the league right now. But as we stated, it's such a long season. Can they sustain this? I kind of think they can, to be honest. Obviously, injuries would be a concern, but they're just a well-rounded football team, the Riders right now. But looking at a line check right now and of the CFL card this week, it is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Montreal. Bombers, 4.5-point road favorites. The total is 48.5. Friday night football, the Edmonton Elks and the Ottawa Red Blacks. This will be a fun football game. A game that Ottawa absolutely positively have to win. And they're another one. Look, like every time they look like they're going to get going, Drew Brown gets hurt again. The Edmonton Elks are only 1.5-point road underdogs in this game against the Red Blacks. Total 53.5. The BC Lions play on Saturday in Toronto against the Argonauts. The BC Lions are 4-point road favorites, which seems kind of extreme. Total 55.5 in that football game. And the Saturday night nightcap, the Rough Riders and the Stampeders, big time game, game of the week. Rough Riders and Stamps, Saturday night, 7:00 Eastern. Rough Riders, 1-point favorites on the road against the Stampeders, total 51.5. Mo, what do you think about the card this week in the CFL?
Oh, I'm surprised about that Stampeder Riders line. You know, you look at Calgary now, they got a lot of question marks. No, they had that big win against Winnipeg, down 17 points and all that. But Calgary's shown a little bit of flaws on both sides of the football. And again, for Vernon Adams Jr., the referendum will be out on him, guys, right? He has to come up with a body of work where he's going to be successful to say he is a legitimate quarterback. And you look at Trevor Harris, guys, he's been the best player so far, the MOP up until now. And keep this in mind here, for that Montreal-Winnipeg game, This could get ugly from the Alouettes. It could really get ugly because Winnipeg's now starting to play better ball. They could be more consistent. I know they had some hiccups the last two games here, but I feel like Winnipeg's looking at this game as being the step out towards that big one against Saskatchewan on Labor Day Sunday. So I think those two games are the ones I'm circling in terms of the intrigue and what could happen. And for all four teams involved, it could really change the shape of their second half of the season going towards September.
Like you said, Bo, in the first half, I was at the game. The Alouettes were competitive, right? They were hanging around. Their defense was playing well.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
But especially in a three-down league, guys, right? There's so many possessions, and there's just this big turnover. And it catches up to the defenses. They really don't get to rest that much on the sidelines. And you could just see as the game was going on, as the third quarter started to go on, the Alouettes defense. Their players were gassed. They were on the field far too much. The Alouettes had set way too many two and outs, and they were back on the field, and there was only so much they could do. And the Bombers will just run the ball down their throat all night, too, and abuse them. You know, the total's 48.5. I was going to say, I'm going to go back to the under again, but the odds makers starting to catch up right now, and 48.5 is pretty light for a CFL game. But so we've got CFL football this week, but at the same time, and, you know, if you look, they're playing Saturday night, so the only game, the game that'll be going head-to-head against Edmonton and Ottawa on Saturday, actually, will be the Rough Riders and the Stampeders, and we've got the Stanford Cardinal in Hawaii, which is actually an earlier game for a Hawaii game this week. But it is week zero, college football set to begin, and it's set to begin with a bang, actually. A very big-time, strange game. Number one, the game is in Ireland, right? The game is in Ireland, but to have, like, division conference, like, to go head-to-head like this with K-State and Iowa State, an unusual situation. Big-time football game, Mo, in Dublin, Ireland, to get the season started for both these football teams.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, we see more conference games being played elsewhere, right? The ACC did it a couple years ago with FSU and Georgia Tech, right? And that kind of spiraled for FSU, right? Never recovered from that moment. And remember Nebraska, when we played Northwestern a couple years ago, Scott Frost was pretty much dead to rights at that point. And this game here has that feeling that it could really change the direction for both these programs here, because you're a national stage. You're the national game pretty much at the noon hour kickoff here on Fox. So I just think that this can go either way here, but it's intriguing because I look at these two teams, guys. They could very well be bowl eligible 7 to 8 wins here. But again, if you get onto this heater here in the month of September, it could really help their case if they do, or if they're still in that conversation of maybe sneaking into the playoffs as one of the lower end seeds going towards December.
Oh, they both have higher expectations than just making a bowl, that's for sure. But it's tough. You know, the Big 12 it's a tough conference from top to bottom. Very, very competitive. A lot of parity in the conference. But people sort of sleep on Iowa State a lot. We know that Campbell is a great coach, and they've got Beck back at quarterback. The thing with both these teams, they both have a lot of returning production. So you have two experienced teams. We're talking about an Iowa State team that won 11 games last year. There's high expectations with K-State because they've got 16 starters back. That now this is another year for Johnson under center. He didn't have the best year last year. You know, it didn't click as much as people would have liked for it to click, but there's really, really high hopes for them this year. But look, Mo, their win total is 8.5. So there's sort of an expectation of 9. Like you said, if things fall into place, you know, maybe they'll be battling, you know what I mean, trying to, you know, win the conference. And then you got Iowa State kind of flying under the radar. K-State are 3-point favorites. What's your pick, Mo, for this game? Who are you going to take?
Well, I'm going to go with Iowa State. I just think that Matt Campbell and how he's built this program up, the running game is going to be key in this matchup, I believe, because the way that they've built up their program under Campbell, they want to run the ball first and second down to set up the pass on third down here. If they can gash for 4 or 5 yards per carry, it just makes it so much easier for Iowa State. Remember, even during the Brock Purdy era at Iowa State, it was the exact same formula that, look, Brock, we'll let you throw the ball 20, 25 times, but those would be the most effective passes that we have from you. So give me Iowa State to win this game, guys. I think that might set the tone for them in the Big 12 this season.
Cam, you're a K-State fan. You like Johnson. What are you doing with this game?
Yeah, I want to take K-State, Gabe, but you're right. That line, too, 3, 3.5, it's been stationary. I know you talked to me about the under, and that's the weird weather you get in Ireland, like potential rains, winds. It's not going to be that easy. So I'm kind of coming around to your thinking there. I haven't locked in yet, but I like K-State in this game. But I think the spread is very, very close. I expect a 3 or 4 point game. And to your point, Morenci, take a look on FanDuel. These are the odds for the Big 12. Kansas State, Utah, Texas Tech, all of the same odds. +550, Arizona State 6, Baylor +650, and TCU +850. Iowa State's 12. So literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams basically have the same odds, and you have 8 teams better than 20-1. That talks about parity.
Yeah, that's why this game is so important for the conference. You get a massive head start here. Yep. If you're Iowa State or K-State, because it's not an easy game. Like, it won't be easy for other teams when they have to play K-State, and it won't be easy for other teams when they have to play Iowa State. So these two teams are opening up with a really tough game, and they can whoever the winner is, that's a nice win. It's almost like taking a hard game in Survivor, guys, in football or something.
I'll say this, though, guys.
No, this is huge. This is huge. You get K-State plus 550, and Iowa State's 12-1. Say Iowa State wins this game, Gabe. And then you talk about it. Like, you're right. It's
well,
almost like
so you look at Kansas. Kansas are playing Fresno State, so another Big 12 team.
That's some primetime football.
And they don't have anything to gain from that. You know what I mean? Like, if Kansas wins, okay, yeah, good. It's not a conference game. We won. We're 1-0. But the conference games are what are so important. But they could lose the game. That's what I'm saying. Like, the winner of Iowa State, K-State are going to feel damn good flying back from Ireland. And the loser is going to have to build themselves back up. And they'll be able to. But, yeah, high stakes for Iowa State and K-State. For me, I'm leaning with Iowa State. I have been. Just due to the fact it was 3.5 before, it's come down to 3. I think that actually does make a difference. Now, guys, we're not talking CFL anymore. I always talk CFL. There are no real key numbers in a CFL with the single points and everything. So college a little bit different. There is. As far as weather, though, Cam, I'm not really concerned about the weather. People bring it up. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Iowa State and K-State. These kids play in terrible
That's
weather.
That's a good point. That's hurricane. Like, those are like hurricanes.
Yeah. You think August in Ireland's going to scare them? Okay.
No, high winds. Like, you're right. Like,
these kids play. They practice outside in blizzards, Kansas. These kids.
You're right. Absolutely. Like, the winds. Like,
they're amongst the worst weather teams in college football.
They are the Cyclones, Berensi, and that's what a cyclone. High winds, right? You're right. A lot of land. No, very, very interesting. You're right. Especially about the way the conditions of the winter and stuff. Just wind, yeah. If any programs are used to it, they are, but should be a great game. No, you said it. Like, I like when the season starts like this. This is huge right out of the gate. And who's going to survive? Because you're right, Gabe. Winner of this one, man, that's huge. That's absolutely monstrous.
The winner of this one, you're in first place. Just point blank, because no one else has played. You're in first place, and you're a game up on everybody. It's a nice spot to be in.
I was going to say quickly, the biggest pressure in this conference is Texas Tech. Think about how much money they've invested in NIL deals, right, to bring in these big five-star recruits and top transfer guys. So the Red Raiders expect to win the Big 12 this year, whether it's this year or next year. So I'm pretty intrigued by what they do this year if they become a big player in Texas when it comes to the big-name catches that they can get through NIL to come play for the program for the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, Texas Tech, they spent $28 million on players. $28 million. To put in context, Ohio State was only at 20 last year.
Yeah.
So they're at 28 right now, Texas Tech. They just threw money at everybody. The problem is with this is, and I'm intrigued by them as well, Mo, obviously, but I'm not as bullish on I'm not as all in on them as a lot of people are. I like Baylor more. And they're not as flashy, but the thing is, with Texas Tech, we saw this with Texas A&M a couple of years ago. Texas A&M guys, they were the first ones to spend big money in the NIL. Like they went over the top with it. What happened? Mo ended up getting Fisher fired,
and a lot of those guys left.
Suddenly, the expectation level goes through the roof. The boosters get really angry because they're paying out of their pocket for this, and they're like, "Man, we gave you $28 million plus the $28 million for the players, and you throw in the coaching staffs and stuff." You're talking about like a $50 million operation. So they're going to expect wins. And it's not easy just to throw kids together and expect them to win. And another thing is, too, I've always been a believer of this. When you only have like NIL mercenary kids, they don't care as much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I brought this up in the past.
Great point.
The kids on A&M, it's like, yeah, you know what? I lost, but I don't have A&M in my blood.
They're not a family. They've been grown together as a team.
And they don't have the program in their blood. Like, they're like, I don't really, you know what I mean? I lost the game, yeah, but I'm also making $2 million. So I'm going to go back to my condo and, and life is good. And Mo, when you have players that have come through the program, they bleed for it, right? They, you know, they don't like the other teams for real. They don't need to be told. Like I saw the other day, there was a thing in college football where players are being told, oh, we don't like this team or we don't like that team, because they don't know, right? They're just getting there. They're like, I don't know who your rival is. I don't care. Like, I'm just getting paid to be here. You know, so you look at Baylor, they're not just like all these kids that are brought in. They have a lot of the same guys that have been there together and got beat up a little bit. I really like that dude. Baylor won their last six games in conference play last year, and then they lost a close one in the bowl game to LSU. So Baylor right up there with danger teams. But I mean, Arizona State aren't going anywhere. You got the Utah Utes. I mean, the Kansas State, Iowa State. It's a damn good conference. So the games this week, Kansas. So there, guys, we talk about playing college football win total futures, and there are actually two teams that I like their win totals that are playing this week. Kansas, the Kansas Jayhawks are playing the Fresno State Bulldogs, and I'm surprised the number's as high as it is. I think this point spread could be a little bit too high, and I do think the total is too low at 50.5. I think Kansas's offense is going to be the real deal. Jalen Daniels is back, and they struggled early last year, but the second half of the season, it started to come together for them. They had a lot of injuries. Don't forget, too, Kansas have been they've been playing at home the last couple of years, and it makes a difference in college. Same thing. They don't have that vibe, right? They were playing at Arrowhead. It just wasn't the same. So now they're back on campus. They have their stadium renovated and stuff. It's not fully complete, but it's good enough for them to be playing again. And so I think that's going to be a difference. They're a fun team. They're 13-point favorites. And the other one is Hawaii. Their win total is 5.5, guys. So in other words, I like bets like this one. It's 5.5. The kids on the team, they've got an end goal. Make a bowl game, right? We know Timmy Chang and company, it's bowl or bust for them this year. They're all in on this. Make a bowl game. To make a bowl game, you got to win six games. Their win total is 5.5. Mo, the wide receiver, the star wide receiver on the Bows this year, is actually from Montreal. Where did he play in the Montreal system, Mo?
So Nick Senecal played for Vanier College, which is one of the top prep programs in Canada that's produced a plethora of NCAA guys, NFL guys. Tim Biakamatuka from your Michigan Wolverines included. He was – it's funny because Timmy Chang was recruiting in the Montreal area and saw a film of the Vanier game. And he was looking at a different player. And Nick Senecal kept on popping up. And he offered him in the summertime of 2023 or 2024, whatever it was. And he's been with him since then. And now Phil Steele, one of the top college football guys, has him as being perhaps a guy to watch out for that can make big inroads with his impact on the football field for Hawaii this year. So I think the Rainbow, they're going to be good this year, guys. And the Warriors are going to have a chance to get over that number and be bowl eligible. The thing, though, as you've said before, Gabe, right, this has been built up by Timmy Chang for the last 3-4 years here. This is the class now. The senior class has to come through to lay down the foundation for guys to say, I want to come play at the University of Hawaii, because already as is, it's tough enough to get guys to come play off the mainland towards Hawaii. But this could be a moment here for him on national TV to get a chance to sell this program to the entire recruiting world out there.
Oh, it really is such a big-time opportunity here. Stanford, obviously, aren't the program that they used to be, but it's still Stanford. It's still a big name. It's still a brand name. So if you're Hawaii, if you can win this game, speaking of confidence moving forward, Hawaii are actually 2.5-point favorites in the game, guys. Oddsmakers are expecting them to win. Total 52.5. You know, it's not going to be easy for them, but I will be on Hawaii in this game. Although I should note, if you're betting the 5.5, the win total for the season, this, you know, you almost don't have to bet this game. That's the one thing, right? You're betting a college football win total. You're already in on the games. And if they're going to get to 6, they kind of have to win this game, right? Like every game is critical. And this is sort of one of the winnable ones for them. Look, they're favored. If, you know, in college football, that's kind of the way it is. Like if you're going to win your win total, because there's the odds makers, it's not meant, there's only 12 games. The odds makers are onto it. So there's really only a fine line of like one game, kind of.
Well, Gabe, I'll tell you one thing.
You got to win
Hawaii. You're double dipping.
And you got to,
right?
What's that?
you're double dipping. You're going to take them to money line in the game and whatever. I know the type of guy you are. You either go 2-0 or 0-2 basically to start your 5.5 bet. And it's a low number. You said it, for Hawaii to get there, they probably have to win this game or like, you know what I mean? And it's a very, very tight point spread there. So I would believe you're taking a double shot with Hawaii. That's just me, because I know you.
Yeah, I probably will. I'm going to be bigger on Hawaii though for the 5.5, but it's a tough game against Stanford, even though Stanford aren't as good as they used to be. They're still like,
and they have a new coach now, right? They fired Wesley Spacer back in March. So this team's sort of reeling right now with the program going in different directions.
Yeah. And the thing with Stanford though is, Mo, is that they're still going to be bigger. You know what I mean? They're going to be bigger kids. Their linemen are going to be bigger. Like, a lot of their players are going to be faster still. Like, they're not good anymore, but they still have better recruits, right? And I know, like, Hawaii's skill position, they're going to have some speed, and they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to put some points. No, that was the thing with Hawaii, actually, surprisingly enough. They didn't score enough. Like, their offense hasn't been as explosive as it should be, but it got better as the year went on. And then Thursday night, it gets, we have a full slate, and then it sort of starts. So just to set the table for people. Saturday, August 23rd, we got four games. Iowa State, K-State, Fresno State, Kansas, Sam Houston, Western Kentucky, Stanford, Hawaii. And then Thursday night, we got some good ones. Boise State at South Florida, early, 5:30 Eastern time. 6 o'clock, Ohio at Rutgers. East Carolina, NC State. Wyoming is at Akron in a weird matchup. Buffalo at Minnesota. Miami, Ohio at Wisconsin. And the game of the night is Nebraska and Cincinnati on a neutral field. It's 6.5, the point spread. Nebraska favored by 6.5, and high hopes for Nebraska this year. And then, of course, we got the it starts to get real, man. Awesome, awesome stuff. I just can't wait for this Texas and Ohio State game. Mo, next week we'll get your Heisman, and we'll do the big-time conference winners and predictions and everything. But awesome stuff as always, Mo. But before we let you go,
yeah,
good call by you. You talked about it last week, and you said this Calgary Surge team was dangerous in the CEBL. Jameer Nelson Jr. On the team, and they are. They've advanced. They're going to the championship weekend. They upset the Vancouver Bandits in Vancouver in a super dramatic, crazy basketball game, in which the target score was ended up being 105. And man, they battled for like 20 minutes, guys. Like, from it was like 102 to 100, and it took like 15, 20 minutes, I swear, to get to 105. But once again, and I'm not taking anything away from the Calgary Surge, because it was a hell of a performance from, they shot the lights out. But Mo, the officiating was terrible in the final moments of that basketball game. And it was very unfortunate. The game was literally decided by the referee awarding Calgary 3 free throws on a very soft, like, you just can't do that. And they reviewed 4 calls in a row, guys, in like the last, like, you know, in the last sequence of the game. And it was like the analyst said, she said, you know, if you're a ref, like, she goes, these refs don't even know the calls they're making. Like, they're unsure. She goes, they're calling them and then checking them after. She goes, you know, this is a playoff game. If you're gonna make a call, be damn sure about the call when you make the call in the first place. And I thought the officiating was horrible, Mo. Maybe Vancouver would have lost anyways, but they got screwed at the end of that game.
Yeah, I know from a fact that Vancouver was not too happy. And they were very disappointed. Had a conversation with the league. Not too sure where that went for them.
Oh, fans were throwing bottles on the court after.
Yeah. And I saw Calgary kind of was egging them on, right, after they won that game. But look, the reality is, right, Calgary matched up all of Vancouver coming into that game. And it just felt like it was going to be last shot wins. And essentially, that's what it was, right? And I think now going towards CW25 this weekend in Winnipeg, you know, Niagara, the defending champions, will be in that conversation. But I think Calgary, from a bettor's perspective, will be your favorites to win this outright, because Niagara's stumbling in. Scarborough's been up and down. And Winnipeg, you know, they're the host team. They had a slow start to the year, kind of picked it up midway through the year, and kind of wheezing their way through to this point here. I think Calgary has less question marks. So if anyone out there is looking for the betting line, I think Calgary might be your champion by the time we talk about this on Monday.
I agree with you, Bo. I agree. I think Calgary's just, they look unstoppable. They have that destiny thing going for them right now. Mo Khan, TSN statistician, sideline reporter, play-by-play voice, and more. Mo, we'll really break it down next week, college football. Good stuff, Mo. Thanks for stepping up and in.
Can't wait, guys. All the best this week, and we'll speak soon, guys. Take care.
All right, we go from Mo Khan to George Kurtz, and we talk some baseball. And speaking of baseball, I see that Rob Manfred had a pretty big announcement about potential expansion and, more strangely enough, realignment, geographical realignment, which, and listen, anytime that Manfred talks, people get concerned because it's usually not a very good idea that he is talking about. And people are kind of confused now. What does he exactly mean by this? Rob Manfred teases realignment with expansion. And he talks about, I think if we expand, it provides us with the opportunity to geographically realign. I think we could save a lot of wear and tear on our players in terms of travel. And I think our postseason format would be even more appealing, because you'd be playing out of the East and out of the West. Let's bring George Kurtz in right now. George, what the hell is Rob Manfred talking about here? Because people seem to be pretty concerned.
Well, let's face it. This is all about expansion. And, the big expansion fee they're going to get, $1 billion a team, right? Something like that is what they're going to charge these teams. My first question would be, and he didn't really specify this. All right, if you're going to realign, are we going with the NFL, 8 divisions, 4 teams each? Because there's 30 teams now. If you expand, I assume it'll be 2 teams, 32, the perfect number. Are we going with what the NHL does or what baseball used to do back in the days and go with 4 teams of 8? 4 divisions of 8, are we doing that? Because if you're doing the NFL, how are you going to get perfect realignment? Are you going to do 4 divisions, 4 teams in a division? Yankees, Mets, who else do you put there? I mean, Boston isn't as close as, let's say, Philadelphia, or Washington for that matter. So what do you do? Do you understand where I'm going to? How are you going to realign this where it's going to make
well,
a lot
I'll tell
of
you
sense
how you do
break
it.
Break up rivalries.
If you do it, no, you almost compound it, but people don't like change to begin with. But if you really want to do, if he's talking about global realignment, then the New York Yankees and the New York Mets should be in the same division, right?
Agreed.
Right? The Angels and the Dodgers. And if you really want to have those teams as rivals, then if they're playing for a division, then I think it really would make the rivalry even bigger. So that's the only thing I think of. It's like, all right, you do have a couple of teams, yet he's his thing about, well, it'll be more attractive for ESPN and networks if we break it up as well. Like, you don't format a league because of television, right? Like, so I just don't really, I'm always skeptical every time I hear Rob Manfred come up with one of these ideas, because I don't think that he has the sport of baseball's best interest at heart. I don't. I think he has his own best interest at heart. I think everybody thinks I'm a terrible commissioner. How can I make his money? He's a lawyer, right? He's been around the game for as long as he has been, and he really doesn't seem to love it or care about it still. It's just, it's an entity to him. And baseball, it should be treated special, a little bit different. It's not an entity. It's supposedly the pastime.
I've heard people mention this before, and I think it makes some sense. Is he a baseball fan? You understand what I'm saying? I think he's what you said. He's a lawyer, wants to make money, but I don't think he's
like,
a
say what you will about
fan.
Bud Selig. Bud Selig loved baseball, at least, right? He liked baseball.
He owned a team.
He was also a car salesman.
I don't think Manfred's a baseball fan. I never really thought Manfred's a baseball fan. He just wants to make money for the owners and make his mark on the game, which I guess he's done with all the rule changes. Listen, I like the pitch clock. I think it is a good idea. That might be the only rule of his he's made that I've liked. I hate the ghost ride, which I think is the stupidest thing going in sports nowadays. The bigger base, I think, is kind of idiotic. Only throwing over to first base twice. I get it, but I think it should be more than that.
Hey, guys, see the realignment, too? See what the proposed Northeast is? Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies? Go ahead. Go kill each other. Those are like 4 of the best teams in baseball in like one division. That'd be amazing.
But that's also, wouldn't that somewhat be fair, too? Because you got 4, well, Red Sox, who knows? But yeah, the other 3 teams who spend money, right? So that I just get all those 4 teams at one. I mean, they'll still be wild cards anyway. So,
I always thought, yeah. I thought, guys, if Montreal came back into the league, I always thought it was dumb that Montreal was in the National League East. Like, if you look at, like, who's Montreal Canadiens' rival? The Boston Bruins. Like, they should be playing the Boston Red Sox. They should be playing Toronto.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Montreal, George, if Montreal comes back, I always thought. And it would have saved them, too. Like, it's a big difference. Like, guys, people don't realize. People, like, for people that aren't in the area, New York City and Montreal are very close to each other. Like, we're talking, like, 3.5 hours if you want to drive fast, like, type deal. Like, it's like a 3.5, 4-hour drive, Montreal, New York City. Boston, same thing. Very close. You know, a little further, but very, you know, very close per se. Like, Montreal would have had the benefit of selling tickets to Yankee games every time the Yankees were in town. They would have had the benefit of selling, well, the Red Sox are in town again. They didn't. The Expos are magic, Kurtz. The Expos are in a division with the Atlanta Braves. You know what I mean? Like, how you gonna get a rivalry going with the Atlanta Braves? You're Montreal. Oh, you think, Cam? Oh, I'm gonna fly to Atlanta for the game this weekend. Like, the Marlins. Like, it didn't geographically make sense, Kurtz. You know what I'm saying with the Expos? Like, they would have been better off, and they would have sold more tickets and still be in the league if they were. They sold out every time the Blue Jays played. It was a big rivalry.
That's a great point, Red Sox, Yankees games.
Like,
you're the not Blue Jays games. Really happy with this.
George, you should see it. When the Yankees play now, especially with the American dollar compared to Canadian, the stadium is Yankee City and Boston City. That's how the Jays make their extra revenue. Two of the biggest teams there. You know, and when like the Phillies would be even in interleague play, like a lot of those people make that trip. Gabe's right. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, Montreal, I'm with you on this one. I think if Montreal was in the division with those guys, you'd have enough out-of-town fans that would have saved them.
But
you're not going to be able to make everybody happy with this.
Yeah.
All right. Because, I mean, just for giggles here. And by the way, we don't know what the two expansion teams will be. But what name the three teams that are going to be in the same division with the Seattle Mariners?
Owners will never agree to it. You're right, Kim. George. They're going to say, screw this. I'm not. From a competitive standpoint, it's going to change things.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Then, no
one's going to want to leave a division with the Yankees. So Tampa's going to have a problem with it. All right. Because that's at least six, seven times a year the Yankees come down there. All right, because you're saying only Boston, so Baltimore's not going to be happy with it either.
Imagine if they told the Angels in Seattle, okay, yeah, now you guys are with the Dodgers. They're going to fight that. They're going to go, we don't want to be in the same division with the Dodgers, right? You see what I mean? From like owners are going to, from a competitive imbalance, they're going to be happy where they are.
If they want money, though, because you said it earlier.
That's the thing, you sell tickets.
Your town, you'll sell more tickets.
So yeah, we talk about that, like Rockies.
But they care about making money. A lot of these owners want to make money.
The Rockies are averaging 30,000 tickets. They're selling 30,000 tickets. How many tickets were sold when the Dodgers were there 8 times or whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like, so you sort of trade off for winning, for selling. But, you know, we're a long ways away from this, obviously. But one thing I will say I don't like is, Kurtz, what's this? So you're using some sort of Apple something now. You got these earbuds in and like, you're not using the same mic. It doesn't sound good. You don't sound as good. Like, listen to me and Cam. We sound nice and booming and Mikey. You sound like you're talking through a
Pepsi can.
Yeah. Doesn't you hear it, Cam? It doesn't sound as good. You don't sound as good as you normally do, Kurtz.
I wonder if it's not coming through the mic, which I will.
Yeah. Anyway, Gabe, don't see the proposed division. You're right. This is a long way away, but I am going to say this is Great Lakes division. It would be absolutely amazing. It'd be Blue Jays, Guardians, Pirates, and Tigers. We'd have a chance, buddy.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
It'd be amazing. I like
this Detroit, division. Detroit, and Toronto, another one. Detroit and Toronto should be rivals, right? Like, but think list how that easy that division is, Cam. So if you're an owner in the American League, you're going to be like, no way in hell are we allowing this. You're going to say, you want us to go play with San Diego and LA, but you guys are going to get to play with Pittsburgh and Detroit.
Dodgers game. I mean? The only change would be Angels. So, like, I love this proposal. I'm on CBS Sports, and the guy did a proposed thing, and it makes a lot. It'd be Padres, Dodgers, D-backs, Angels in the Southwest Division. I don't mind that because the Angels, you bring out Colorado, they switch out, and the Angels come in proximity to the Dodgers. You got California teams there. You got three with Padres, Dodgers, Angels. It's pretty cool.
Angels won't want that.
They won't, though.
If you're the Angels, like, it's a nightmare, like, suddenly to play to play in that division. Listen, you know that we're far away from this. We know, you know, it takes a while. And as far as expansion, I don't think Montreal would be in the mix, to be honest. You know, I'd like to say yes.
So who? Nashville? Nashville? What about Portland?
Portland, they need a dome. It rains too much, and it's not quite big enough. There's been talk of Portland. There's one of the owners of Nike.
San Antonio?
No, you know, Kurtz, they're the biggest two. Like you said, Nashville makes a lot of sense. And the other one is North Carolina.
I don't think they would do two that close to each other.
There would only be one, so they would be competing with each other.
Nashville only makes too much sense, guys. Like, you got the, you know what I mean, Gabe? The Predators do pretty good. Like, the Nashville's a great spot. Like, they have the Nashville Sounds in a AAA. Like, that Nashville seems like a great, perfect spot for Major League Baseball.
Well, it's about geographical. It's like I said when they played the NASCAR game. They played in the South, and the players, a couple of players said, you know, I'm from the South, and it's cool to play here. And he said, you know, baseball, he goes, there's not a lot of representation of pro sports in the South, especially baseball. The thing is, with baseball, we talk about it. Like, guys, the SEC is the best baseball conference by far now. Like, these like, they love baseball, like in Louisiana and Alabama and Arkansas. Like, their baseball and high school programs are, like, they're very, very big. The college stuff is massive. College baseball, like, college baseball is bigger there than it is anywhere else, pretty much, along with the West Coast, etc. But so they don't have a lot of representation in baseball. You know what I mean? You got the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are in Georgia. That's sort of, and everybody in the South is sort of watches the Braves, but that's why Nashville. And like you said, Cam, Nashville has money. They got a party scene. It's a successful city. Mm-hmm. They can easily absorb a baseball team. And Charlotte was the other one. But you're right, Kurtz. They're not going to drop two teams in the South at once, right? They'd just be one.
You also wonder, for the realignment, are they going to have to put a team in a certain area just to make it make sense? You know, does a team have to be, you mentioned Portland just for giggles here, you know, just to make, because I said, name four teams that are going to be in the Seattle Mariners division, or three other teams. There's no one all that close.
Well, no, Colorado? They should be, exactly. They should be with the California teams, to be honest.
But there's only four California teams, so that's perfect for a four, right? San Fran, Dodgers, Angels, Padres.
Wouldn't it be because the Giants, it's a San Francisco, a little bit north, like Giants, Mariners, expansion, Portland, Athletics. That's the Northwest. Makes sense.
All right, but what about the Diamondbacks? Who sort of all
they have to go to the Southwest. They were the ones that came in. It's Angels, Dodgers, Padres. You add Diamondbacks there.
And now you're going to have a Vegas team too, don't forget, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not going to work out perfect no matter how. Like, there's going to be a couple teams left out in the cold here because the odds are it can't work out perfect. But I do wonder if they will do something stupid and do what the NHL did and go 4-8s, you know, just to make this make more sense. But even that probably won't work out either.
Well, I was another thing too. That Manfred kind of dropped about playoff realignment as well, right? Playoff reseeding. So do they drop the leagues? Do they do this? Do they do that? To me, though, this is just another instance of, I get it. Everything is sort of a test field. You publicly throw it out there and, you know, you see what the public says. But it's about right now, put it this way, guys. I would not have said this publicly if I was Manfred now. We got pennant chases going on, right? The season's coming to an end. Like, it's getting real right now. September's around the corner. The talk should be on the games. On the field. The talk should be about the league now, not trying to appease ESPN for a television contract, right? Like, that's, you know, like, he doesn't get it. It's like, dude, we were in the middle of something intense here. That should be behind the scenes, and that should come out after the year ends about how this is what we're floating out here. But because now everybody in baseball, we're going to be talking about this instead of the big weekend wins and series, including, and we'll wrap it up with this, but Kurtz, the LA Dodgers in San Diego. The sky was falling on the Dodgers. San Diego fans talk a lot of smack online. The momentum had shifted in this division, but I had told people coming into the series, The Dodgers were actually 8-2 in their last 10 games against San Diego. Well, now they're 11-2 in their last 13. Big time series sweep for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now they're back up to a 2-game lead again.
That was a smackdown. I mean, anyway, look at that's a smackdown. All right. Listen, I know the Padres got a little screwed. Michael King goes on the IL right before game one here. You lost Jackson Merrill yesterday, too. But Dylan Cease got blown away, right? He didn't pitch well, outpitched badly by Blake Snell. Yesterday, you have the nice comeback here, right? You tied the game at four, and then Mookie Betts, of all people, not having the greatest season, hits the game-winning home run. You know,
game two, George, Blake Snell in his last couple starts is looking like Blake Snell. That's bad news.
That's bad news
for everybody else, Gabe. You know what? Blake Snell's on. He's almost unhittable. The Dodgers now, from a betting perspective, what were they before? They're -475 on my FanDuel account.
Not to mention Zach Wheeler. Remember that the Phillies might have been their biggest opponent. Zach Wheeler, I don't see him pitching again this season. Correct. I mean, blood clots, you don't come back from that. And even if he does, by the way, I don't know if he can come back as a starter. You know, he's going to go deep into games. He's going to go to 3-4 innings. So it was a really, really good weekend for the LA Dodgers.
It's a big week still. They play again this weekend, guys. So it sets up. This is sort of, you know, division on the line this week. What happens now? And it sets up beautifully for the Dodgers. They need to take advantage of it. The Dodgers are in Denver this week. They're playing the Colorado Rockies. So if they have an opportunity to beat up the Rockies, rack up some more W's, San Francisco are going to San Diego. So San Diego hosts the Giants this week. And then they play for the final three times this year, this weekend, at Petco. So massive week this week in the National League West. Speaking of the West, the Reds are at the Angels this week. We got the Brew Crew and the Cubs big-time series this week as well. Blue Jays and Pirates. Mariners and Phillies. You got some interesting series this week, Kurtz, in Major League Baseball.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Listen, you left out the Yankees and Red Sox. Come on, boys. Yankees and Red Sox. All that matters this weekend. But yeah.
All that matters.
Oh, come on. That's why the ESPN moved the game to Sunday Night Baseball. So,
talk about first place teams on this show, Kurtz.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hurts. And Yankees will not be a first place team.
No.
Listen, hey, Yankees took care of business, right? You got to beat the bad teams. You took care of Minnesota. You beat up the St. Louis Cardinals with all the injuries they have here. Good for the Yankees, but this will be a more interesting week. Remember, the Yankees' record against the American League East, the Jays, the O's, Rays, and Red Sox is pathetic. It's something like, 8-21? It's really bad. They don't play the American League East well at all, and they play 2 games against the Rays at Steinbrenner Field, then 4 against the Red Sox. We'll know much more about the Yankees this week than we did after last week's games.
Mariners and Phillies, interesting as well. Pretty wild. Cal Raleigh, guys, was 90-1 to win. 90-1 to win the MVP in May. And now it's pretty much like even money. Pretty crazy, huh? Really missed out on that one, man.
Yeah, we did.
Man, do we miss out on that?
Because we bet so many damn sports, we forget things. That's the problem.
No, I didn't forget anything. I didn't know that Cal Raleigh was going to be good.
You're right. Not MVP.
I didn't forget anything. I didn't know.
He did come out of nowhere.
Kurt, you didn't know.
I know he's good, but what he's doing is just stupid.
Even as good as he was back then, Judge was otherworldly. Yes. Who would have known that Judge was going to get hurt? And you can't tell me he's not still hurt. By the way, he doesn't look like Judge at all.
I didn't hear one person in the world say before the year started, hey, take Cal Raleigh to win the MVP.
That's a good point.
Cal Raleigh wasn't even the top catcher taken in fantasy, okay? And by the way, I see the top catcher. We weren't even talking about Cal Raleigh. All right? He's had a fantastic year coming out of nowhere, the big dumper, great nickname. But no one saw this happening.
No, I wish I did, but we didn't. All right. Thanks, George. Good stuff, Cam. We'll catch up with you guys We'll catch up with Kurtz later in the week, and we'll start to dig in and really start breaking it down. College football win totals. We have week 0 this week and NFL futures. I've been focused more so on college We haven't, you know, I've been working behind the scenes, guys, on this. So I'm going to unleash it later in the week. I literally have about 15 teams I'm going to talk about their win totals. And then next week we got like real college football, the full slate. And then we got NFL. So we've got a lot of picks to share. And we got to start jumping in and circling our NFL bets as well. Player props, teams and everything else in between. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you download your favorite listening material. And we'll catch you with the Twisted Tuesday edition of the program. Sports Grid Radio Network, the podcast. This is Sports Grid. Other than that, you're on your own.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.